three or four relationships, like serial monogamy, which was is interesting that Margaret Mead predicted that this would happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're the forerunners of a new kind of relationship with men or something, I don't know. But I think that women...
Pioneers,
yes, settlers.
Sorry.
I think that women begin writing, maybe this is a gross generalization, but I think they begin writing as a means of catharsis, as a means of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
They write to stay sane. We write to stay sane, to let go of the boogies. And I don't know why there isn't more men. Maybe because they're struggling to find jobs. They're struggling I don't know.
I think men also have a harder time maybe to open themselves, lay their feelings open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the linear, the cerebral, or whatever, doesn't allow for much self-expression. You don't have to get into it as a whole person.
Yeah.
I don't know. That, again, is a very gross generalization. I think you're right. It would be nice if, during the presentation, what you just said about the loss of roles, if you said something, because we've been discussing that, looking at those two autobiographies.
Mm-hmm.
This is of the interview. No, it's okay.
No, okay, yeah.
Just
leave
it.
Yeah.
Maybe just take it up.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, Leslie Silko, I was taking a Native American mm-hmm. lit class this fall, and Leslie Silko came. And one of the students asked her, why did you make the main character in Ceremony a man? Why not a woman? And she said, because men are more vulnerable. And they have suffered more.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed... Teo had to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that Janet Armstrong has been asked the same, why Thomas Kalaskett is a man,
mm-hmm.
especially asked by women.
Yeah. In my book, what I'm doing is I have, in the creation story, there are 10 brothers that are human beings that are on they're on the earth, and there is no other human beings on the earth. And they're out hunting one day, and they come upon a nest high up in a tree. And the youngest brother climbs up the nest, and in the nest he finds a little brother and a little sister. And so in my novel, the novel is told by the brother and the sister. Yeah.
So you've got two voices.
I have two voices, one's male and one's female.
Do you have any other voices besides those two?
Yes, I have. The husband of Josie has come into the story, and he's going to come in again. He's a creep, but he's a great character. And he's sort of the metaphor for this machismo gone awry that a lot of Indian men have adopted in the absence of a deeper, more nurturing role. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've asked the questions that I have in my mind that I want to ask. Is there something that you would like to add? Either for the book, or if I use this tape and play parts of it to students, say, back home? General statement.
One of the things that I find really very, very interesting being down in in Arizona is there is something happening in Native American writing, and it has to do with the old stories. And it's like there are a number of us who are going back to the old stories and using them, or they're using us, as a means of telling a contemporary story.
Yeah.
And when you use myth, then the possibilities of time and the use of time just broadens it, because those in the primordial times, it was times, it was plural. It was not just a one day follows the next that follows the next,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that that maybe at this time in the history of the world we need to go back to those, because I see a big change coming in the world itself and in the way that human beings relate to the earth, to our existence here.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through a really rocky time, and we've already started.
We're
there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see past the rocky time is something incredibly exciting. I don't see the literal end of the earth. I see a new beginning of the fifth generation coming into being, or the fifth world, as the Hopis
mm-hmm.
call it,
mm-hmm.
the time of the fifth world. And I also see that down the road, someday, we're going to come to terms with cultural differences, with racism. And it's going to free up humanity to do better things than to kill each other.
Yeah.
That war in the Middle East is totally unnecessary war.
It's totally out of time, out of place, out of anything.
Yeah.
And, I'm very happy to hear the reports that we get from home. You know, the people, there are thousands and thousands demonstrating against the war in Europe. In Germany in particular, you know, most of them are young. Schools closing down and all the kids and the teachers hit the streets. It's the young kids, and that's the third generation after the war.
Mm-hmm.
I was born at the very end,
mm-hmm.
and all we've been taught was how terrible it is, what
yeah.
it does to people, to families. I mean, I don't have a single uncle left. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then think of what Germans did to others. So that butchering, that slaughtering, that killing, doesn't lead anywhere, just to hurt and hatred. And it is so, and a lot of people have understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a gut fear in a lot of kids. So what you see at demonstrations now is my generation, so 68, from the student movement, and their kids. But it's good to see the kids. Some of them are only 10 years old, or younger.
Yeah. You know, Arizona is a Republican state, and it's in some ways a lot kind of backward politically, from my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people way it's conservative.
Yeah.
And on the University of Arizona, on the campus, there's just continual anti-war demonstrations, and there's a teach-in happening at the university, and it's so interesting a way that those are kids, those are the age of my oldest son, that are leading this fight, and I admire them because they're doing it in an environment that is so conservative,
yeah.
and there are so many people in power in Arizona that right behind President Bush all the way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, who is he? Oil. That's where he's
yeah.
from. Texas
yeah.
oil. That's it.
You know, I heard he was on, he was, there was a speech he was giving on TV 3 months ago, and he said, we are in the Gulf to protect the multinational interests. He goes, no, I'm sorry. We're in the Gulf to protect them. I said, you said that
to liberate Kuwait, okay. I think we've got to, maybe, something you want to add?
No.
No?